You're listening to Murdochian Tales, a short story collection by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com. Today's story, Stan's Mirror.
Stan sat in his usual spot at the end of McCully's bar, gin and tonic in one hand, his messy black hair gripped in the other. He could be found here almost any evening of the week, since his wife's death nearly 2 years ago. His gaze would only look up when he needed to order a drink, and then he would resume his position. It wasn't uncommon to see him crying with his face cradled in his hands, either. Charlie, the bartender, came down and patted Stan on the shoulder.
"Let me call you a cab, Stan."
"Fine," Stan muttered as he pushed Charlie's hands away. He did this any time Charlie dared offer him a cab.
"You're not fine, Stan," said Charlie. "You've been coming in here every day for quite some time. I hear from the rest of your friends that they never see you, that your work is slipping. Stan, you've got to get back to your life. You can't keep doing this to yourself day after day. Your drinking isn't going to bring Samantha back."
Stan stood abruptly. He had to catch himself in the bar to keep from falling over. A scowl crossed his face as he glared at Charlie.
"Don't talk to me about her. Just don't say a word about my wife."
"Hey, I was just saying..."
"I don't care what you were saying."
Stan snatched his drink and gulped down the rest and slammed the empty glass in the bar.
"Let me at least call you a cab. You're in no condition to drive," insisted Charlie. "Bah!" snapped Stan as he fumed from the bar.
It was bitterly cold outside, and once there, Stan realized he hadn't driven to the bar. He'd left his car at work and walked. His apartment was only about a mile away, but with the damp cold and his current drunkenness, he wasn't sure he'd be able to make it home. Pulling his dirty jacket about himself, Stan wasn't doing as often as he liked, or showering. He began the long walk home. The wind bit into his ears and his face. Even though his head was lowered and looking at the ground, the cold penetrated him down to his bones. He walked for 2 blocks before he regretted not letting Charlie call him a cab. Every time he heard someone mention Samantha, he got upset and flew off the handle at the person. His friends now avoided him. And just as Charlie told him, his work had slipped drastically. At times he knew they were all right. He should get over the death of his wife. But he also knew it was his fault that their plane had crashed, and he wasn't able to eject his pregnant wife in time to save her. Ever since, he'd have a hard time living with himself. Before he made it halfway home, a light snow fell, and his shoes dampened. The snow kept finding ways into his jacket, and with each step he grew colder and colder. Finally, he spotted an alley that would provide him with at least temporary protection from the cold and snow. He hurried his feet along and made his way into the dark, narrow alleyway. No wind entered, and certainly no cold could enter, as the alley was warmed by a large grate that blew steam up from a basement far below. Stan sat near the grate to warm himself before finishing his trip home. He glanced around. The alley was empty except for this grate. Though only about 5 feet wide, it certainly could be something the homeless would find useful. It was warm, clean, and there were no windows looking into it, the perfect spot to hide when you didn't want the world to find you. And that's what Stan wanted right now. He curled himself up and stayed close to the warmth the grate provided, trying not to think of what his wife thought during the fiery crash that took her life. What she must have thought as she saw his seat eject from the plane and leave her alone, screaming in labor pain. Their plane had needed repairs for months, and each week he would promise her he was going to get it fixed before the baby came, but there was never enough time or money. They barely had enough to afford to keep the plane, let alone get it repaired, and how often were ejection seats needed anyway? It was Stan's idea to fly south to Miami, his hometown, to have the baby. He'd wanted the baby born in the same hospital he was born. Once again he broke down and started crying, his face covered with his hands. He could never clear the image of the plane crash from his head. Each day he tried to drink the vision from his mind, but it only became clearer with each passing day. He thought of suicide more than once, but he was too much of a coward to even take his own life, regardless of how much he felt he deserved it. The sound of coins falling on the ground disrupted the vision in Stan's head and caused him to look up. A faint glow came from the back of the alley and called to him. He struggled to his feet, pulled his jacket about himself, and made his way to the light. It pulsed like a beating heart. He walked further back than the alley should have allowed. Each step labored, and his head was getting foggier from the gin. But he continued toward the light, entranced by its pure, innocent beauty. When he reached the source of the light, he stopped in horror. In front of him stood a man with a dirty, unshaven face and messing hair, clutching a ratty old jacket. The man had to be homeless, for no one would go out looking like that. There were holes in his pants, and his shoes looked as if he'd worn them every day for years. The man just stood and looked Stan up and down as Stan looked at the man. Slowly, Stan took another step toward the man and froze as the man also took a step forward and froze as well. Confused, Stan finished his step, and the man finished his as well. Both moved their arms in unison and waved to each other. Stan let out a strained laugh and shook his head as he realized he was looking into a mirror. He walked forward and was saddened by his appearance. There were no mirrors in his house, for Stan couldn't stand to look at himself anymore. Yet here he was, looking at the person he'd become. He could die right here and now, and no one would miss him, would they? He had made his way up to the mirror, and kept looking deep into his swollen, bloodshot eyes. He looked at his wrinkled, blotchy skin and shook his head. He'd allowed guilt to ruin his life, but he still couldn't allow himself to do anything else. He felt it was now his lot to suffer. When he was right up to the mirror, Stan noticed that he couldn't make out exactly where the surface started and the world ended. It was perfectly clear and smooth, more so than any mirror he'd ever seen. It spanned the entire width of the alley and ascended up into the darkness above. This confused him, as why would anyone put such a perfect mirror here? Raising his hand, Stan reached out to touch the mirror, for nothing else than to prove to himself that it existed. He placed his hand upon its surface and watched as his hands touched and pulled back quickly. The mirror's surface was warm and rough as if he'd just touched his own hand. Again he reached up and touched the surface and tried to steady his mind as he did so. His hand passed through the surface of the mirror and made ripples across it, as a pool of water. Confused, Stan pulled his hand back and watched as ripples continued to run across the surface and distort his image. It took some time for the mirror to stop moving, and once it did, Stan didn't like the appearance of his reflection, the reflection of a dirty, ruined man. He looked down at his feet and felt the tears well up again. They rolled down his face, down his cheeks, and dripped off his chin. His blurry eyes watched as the tears dropped past his feet, disappearing into the ground. Startled by this, he raised his head and snapped up once again to gaze into his reflection. He saw himself, but not as a sad, depressed man. The reflection looked angry, almost violent. The reflection continued on into infinity as if he were trapped between two mirrors. 1,000 images of himself stood in the room that disappeared off into the distance. He turned around and saw only the same thing. The alley had disappeared, and the dark sky above was no more than a blanket covering the room. The reflection soon stopped moving with him, and threatened and taunted him. He had nowhere to move, and no corner to hide in. Everywhere he turned, he could only see his drunk, angry reflection. In a moment of horror, the reflection's hand reached through the mirror, and its hand passed into Stan's chest. He felt the hand firmly gripping his heart, and this caused him to panic. His breath came in short, panicked gasps, and his vision blurred with pain rather than tears. Stan waited for his heart to stop, for the pain to end, for his life of misery to be over. The reflection's hand picked Stan up off the ground, and the pain became nearly impossible to bear. Though close to blacking out by the pressure exerted upon his fragile heart, Stan stayed awake and watched as the reflection's face distorted and slowly faded from existence. Then his body dropped and hit the ground. He dared not stand or look about. Instead, Stan lay on the ground, coughing up clots of blood, and tried to stop his body from twitching. He didn't know what he'd just endured, but certainly his heart and body could take no more. Death must be near, waiting to take him. Then he opened his eyes. The alley and the dark snowy night were gone, replaced by a sunny green field where a small herd of horses ran in the distance just under the shade of a majestic mountain. The grass, tall enough for him to lie in, bent with the warm, gentle breeze that whispered to him. Stan had to shade his eyes from the bright sun that warmed the field. He'd never seen such a beautiful sight. Didn't know where he could possibly be. "Surely I must be dead," he thought. He looked down at his body and saw that his clothes were replaced by clean white robes, lightweight and unwrinkled. The serene field lay empty, save a lone robed figure making its way towards him. As it neared, he could make out a female figure with long, flowing red hair. The woman was as beautiful as Stan could recall. It was his wife. He felt no sorrow in his heart, only joy for seeing her. It had been a long 2 years since she had passed away, and certainly told him he had died and now joined his wife in death. He allowed his mind to release all the guilt he had stored for so long, and felt as though a boulder had been removed from his shoulders. A smile found its way onto his face, and he held out his arms to greet Samantha. They came together in an embrace and held each other tightly, their bodies becoming one. Stan felt the elation of holding her nearly lift him off his feet. He never wanted to let her go. After many heartbeats, Stan eased up enough to gaze into her face. He traced the lines of her face with his hand, from her soft forehead to her tender chin, and gazed longingly to her soft green eyes. Even the lips that seemed ready to speak to him were as perfect as they were on his wedding day. Stan leaned in to kiss her, but her hand on his chest stopped his advance. He paused and looked deep into her eyes, and she said, "I love you, and I forgive you." Samantha faded into a shower of sparks as he held her, and he felt no remorse letting her go. He felt at peace for the first time in 2 years, and knew everything would be good again. Charlie patted Stan on the shoulder. "Let me call you a cab, Stan." Stan sat down his half-finished gin and tonic. He locked eyes with Charlie and smiled. "Yes. Please."
Thank you for listening to Murdochian Tales, a short story collection by J.R. Murdoch. For more information and contact information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.